Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Nunes' hands are down, and she's walking Ronda down. She tags her again.
Over and over, Amanda Nunes.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37 make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Gloves boxing champion, as well as being an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing, but guess what? I've always found out the average fan knows more. So I open up the toll-free phone line at the top of each hour and give you the opportunity to impart if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio at that number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, I thought Gary Russell fought last night, but it was another Gary Russell. So Gary Antonio Russell, now 18 and zip, stopped Amanda Rodriguez. That actually was a no decision, 16 seconds of the first round. But the bottom line is, I'm telling you, I think Gary Antonio Russell looks like he can fight a little bit. Mr. Rodriguez, probably there for a payday. Looked like he was there for a payday, but it was a no contest, an accidental headbutt. Bottom line is, things like that happen in the world of boxing. But Gary Russell and Gary Antonio Russell are two different guys. Gary Russell is on the milk carton guy. He's the guy on the milk cartons. Oh, you haven't seen him so long, he's on milk cartons, I kid you not. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Later on the show, in about 10 or 15 minutes, we'll bring in John Jockelman. He is the head of Veev TV. We'll talk about that in depth. Of course, the new show, the WBC channel, everything going on here as far as Ring Talk Live Worldwide is concerned. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Stay tuned for more of Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Man, that must be an old version of that song that sounds so slow. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we feature the mighty sounds of Tower of Power, having worked alongside them as far as a journalist concerned since, I don't want to say how many years it's been, a long time anyway. I wish Emilio Castillo and the gang all the best, of course, TowerOfPower.com. Of course, Virgil Ortiz, the star of last night's show as far as boxing was concerned, of course, on the zone now, 18 and zip, 18 knockouts. Almost, I say he got off the floor in the second round, and Hector says he didn't. Bottom line is, of course, this Cavaluskas guy is the same guy that dropped Terrence Crawford. Didn't get credit for the knockdown there either. So that's his claim to fame. He dropped both Virgil Ortiz and Terrence Crawford and got credit for neither knockdown. Anyway, he put up a game effort, but then again, he was the opponent. And I've stressed this time and time and time again. If you're the opponent, the boxing establishment doesn't want you to win. I mean, come on, they want to build up the other guy, the star. I mean, he's the A side of the record. You're the B side of the record. When you're the B side, you've got to do things. You've got to gamble. You've got to gamble to win. You've got to, like, throw the dice, man. Sometimes you're going to roll snake eyes, but you got to throw the dice, okay? Throwing the dice means going out there and committing yourself. Some guys don't want to commit themselves. The bottom line is Virgil Ortiz. He committed himself last night, of course. After he got semi-dropped in round number two, he came back with a beautiful body shot, and that changed the toll of the entire fight. But the bottom line is Mr. Cavaluskas came to fight. He can fight. He lost to Crawford before at 147 pounds. Now Crawford, Terrence Crawford, the unbeaten WBO champion, of course, coming to us out of Omaha, Nebraska, the boxing hotbed that isn't. Anyway, of course, he comes to us undefeated, but what have you done for me lately? Sorry, Terrence, baby, but I thought Terrence's peak was when he had the 135-pound, maybe the 140-pound crown. That was his peak as far as his physical stature was concerned. I think he's at a disadvantage fighting at welterweight, and were he to rumble with Errol Spence, he would be at a disadvantage. That's why I think he wouldn't take the fight with Errol Spence. He had a chance to do a 50-50 fight with Spence. He wouldn't do it. He had to have 60% of the cut. Didn't work that way. Bottom line is, you know, Terrence, again, what have you done for me lately? Jordi Ugas, of course, Ugas has been stepped up now. He's going to take the position of Errol Spence. Of course, Madeline Manny Pacquiao is going to go down August 21st. Of course, Las Vegas, take that back. The T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada, Fox Sports pay-per-view is going to put that on, of course. Do you want to buy this pay-per-view? I think if you've got, it's going to have some evenly matched old dudes on the undercard. I'm like, guys almost as old as me. I kid you not. Virgil Ortiz and Robert Guerrero. Robert Guerrero, outside of beating Andre Berto, he did nothing as a professional for me. Yes, he won a lot of fights, and he won some titles, this and that. But, man, he was like the most overachiever in the history of boxing. He just was. I mean, he couldn't punch. He could box a little bit. He was tall. He was rangy. He sort of got over, but he caught Berto off guard that night and lit Berto up like the White House Christmas tree. Of course, that got him the fight with Floyd Mayweather. Lots of money, no doubt about that, like a $8 or $10 million payday. More power to him. But now he's back, and he's taking on the king of the sucker punch, Virgil Ortiz. When I say the king of the sucker punches, he's the king of receiving sucker punches. Of course, he fouled Floyd Mayweather in that fight several years ago, and then he dropped his hands and Mayweather sucker punched him. Well, the bottom line is defend yourself at all times. This is not badminton. This is boxing. This is combat sports, you know? And this is, I mean, the real intentions are there. There's no doubt about it. Looking at the rest of the weekend, of course, who came up short? Guillermo Rigondeaux. Guillermo Rigondeaux, of course, the former WBO 122-pounder. He's had all different titles. Bottom line is a two-time Olympian out of Cuba. I mean, a good-looking fighter, but, you know, like what did Larry Merchant tell me one time? He is the boxing, what did he call him? The boxing equivalent of paint drying on walls. Merchant just didn't dig him. Still doesn't dig him. Speaking of Merchant, of course, the aforementioned retired HBO godfather has had some voice issues. We hope to get him on the air in the next week or so. I talked with him briefly yesterday. He was still a bit hoarse. He is the godfather, no doubt about that. And of course, he is the man who's been on my Sunday show now for since 1985. That's how long me and Larry have been together. I love him dearly. And, of course, he and his wife, Patricia Stitch Merchant, we hope them. They moved into a new house down there in Santa Monica, California, on the beach now instead of down there in Hollywood with all the stars. He used to live like 3 or 4 blocks away from where O.J. Simpson murdered his wife. Oh, I know he wasn't convicted of it, but he murdered her. I mean, no doubt about it. Anyway, Guillermo Rigondeaux lost a split decision for the WBO 118-pound crown against John Real Casimiro. Casimiro, a decent fighter. Of course, these guys have battled at 118 pounds. Rigondeaux, good work. He was able to go 12 rounds, but the bottom line is he came up short. Casimiro now 31-4, 20 KOs. Of course, Rigondeaux is a good fighter, but he's a boxer, per se. You know, most people don't get off on boxers. Hector liked them, but I didn't like him. I didn't want him. I mean, when this fight was on, oh, my God, Rigondeaux's a fighting. I'll go in the other room. I'll come back. And that's just the way it is. I'm not a big exciting fighter. Does he throw? Is he cute? Can he move? All that kind of good stuff? Yeah, but do I appreciate it? Not really. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. I got a text. Where is boxing's PhD? He's been absent. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr., of course, coming to us out of the Bronx Bomber himself. He's been in the Dominican Republic for 2 weeks taking care of family business, so he shall be back next week. And some text here regarding Crawford. You're underestimating Crawford's ability. I'm underestimating Crawford's ferocity. I'm not underestimating Terrence Crawford at all. I think Terrence Crawford is a marvelously talented athlete, a good fighter, no doubt about it. He's got a decent chin. He's got all the tools. But his day has passed. I think his day has passed. I don't think he was destined to be a superstar anyway. I think he was there to be a good fighter, no doubt about it. But the superstar thing, you know, you've got to act the superstar. You've got to be the superstar. Everything's got to come together. Well, when you look into the superstar pot, as far as Terrence Crawford is concerned, there's a couple of ingredients missing, and I really don't know what they are, but the bottom line is he's missed the boat on a couple of occasions, of course, especially that Spence fight, and now he's going to get lit up like White House Christmas tree by, that's right, Virgil Ortiz. I'm calling it right now. Virgil Ortiz stops Terrence Crawford inside the distance, humiliates him. I mean, I'm telling you, the body shots, when he hits this guy, when he hits Crawford to the body, Crawford's going to turn a whiter shade of pale. I kid you not. And I'm not talking about that song by Procol Harum back in 1967. I'm talking about Terrence Crawford's facial expression and his, that's what's going to go down. Once Ortiz cracks him to the body, it's all over. I watched it last night. I mean, once he hit this guy, Cavaluskas, to the body, it was all over. His body shots are that heavy. I mean, they are that heavy. And he commits himself. You got to commit yourself. And we talked about this before. Committing yourself, it's all about gambling. Because, you know, you got to do this to get that. right? But some guys don't want to do that. Well, Virgil Ortiz, I think he's willing to gamble to go for the gusto. And I think Terrence Crawford, well, he's looking to play it safe. He's been looking to play it safe now for a couple of years. I mean, we've talked at different conventions around the world where I've seen him maybe once a year or this and that for the past 3 or 4 years. Didn't see him last year because of the pandemic. But I see him once a year or twice a year, and I bounce into him, and I ask him, run into him, I say, hey, Terrence, what's going on? You know, who's your manager? And he would always... the manager thing. I mean, he didn't. So I guess he doesn't have a manager. And Bob Arum, the promoter, is the quasi-manager. It appears that way. And his manager or his advisor or his trainer is that big BOMAC guy. And Big Mac, BOMAC, call him what you want. But the bottom line is he's calling the shots on Terrence Crawford's career. And you wonder why Terrence hasn't made any money yet, or Terrence is crying about not making any money. Well, guess what, man? If you haven't got people like Yumil Chardy, the aforementioned Yumil Chardy, I mentioned him in hour number one, talking about the great manager. Of course, he was of Lebanese descent, lived in Puerto Rico, but he was a genius, no doubt about that. Mickey Duff, the guy from the UK, of course, he was so cheap on taxes, he lived on an island. He lived on a boat. He pulled a cut, he moved. He lived on a boat about 12 islands off the UK coast. So we didn't have to pay taxes. That was my buddy Mickey Duff. More power to him. But these guys were boxing geniuses. They were managers. And that's what's missing in today's world of boxing. A good manager, I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Next up, we're bringing a TV executive from Veev TV. We'll see what Veev TV is about, and WBC Boxing TV and WBC TV and all that kind of good stuff. If you're confused, don't be. We'll talk with John Jackman after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide.
For me to learn my lesson, like you told me that I would, I got to have a clean slate, baby.
Ring Talk live worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
I got to have a clean slate, baby.
Clean slate.
I'm gonna chalk them all apart.
Face the facts. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Quiet week in the world of the UFC, meaning Dana the Pimp didn't get to make any money. It's a good week in the world when Dana White doesn't make any money, folks. I kid you not. We're talking about the greatest exploitator of human beings on the planet. You watch those fights, nobody's helping those guys out. I'm talking about the corner man. They don't stop the fights. The doctor doesn't stop the fights. The referee doesn't stop the fights. Nobody's stopping the fights. And Dana's sitting there eating his popcorn while some guy's getting his brains handed to him. Bottom line is, Dana needs to be neutered. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. We take it to Dallas, Texas. Of course, Dallas, Texas, and bring in the head of Veev TV. I'm talking about the Veev Network, Mr. John Jackman. Sir, this is our first introduction. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Now, your wife, Danielle, seems to be their dynamic duo there, Batman and Robin. She seems to be rocking and rolling there. What is Veev TV?
Well, actually, Veev TV is a linear channel, OTT, basically on through applications, and streaming directly soon to large platforms and television like LG, Samsung, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But think of it as an ESPN for boxing. That's what it is, with live capability. So we'll have live fights that are pay-per-view, some of them free-to-air. We partnered with the WBC, and we don't think there's anything like it. And I think I think it was needed for boxing fans.
Well, you know, I go back with the WBC to Mauricio's father, Jose Suleiman. He and I traveled all over the world together, and I miss him dearly. But he had this vision of trying to bring television platforms to smaller promoters, this and that. And Mauricio said, now we're number one, that Veev TV is that concept.
Well, that's right. I think there's so many fights all over the world that no one gets to see. And I think the smaller promoters especially need help now with this pandemic situation. They can't, it's very difficult to make money if they can't attract an audience in their venues. So primarily, we've got some great tech partners, and we're going to be announcing some really innovative live capabilities so the idea is to have live production from anywhere in the world and at very low cost to promoters. Okay. So and at the best quality. Okay. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. Christy Martin, the coal miner's daughter, has got a card coming up on pay-per-view on your channel. Of course, she's the baddest broad on the planet. And I don't say that with any derogatory nothing. I'm telling you. No. Any woman that can get shot and stabbed, answer. I'm a former policeman here in San Francisco, okay? I saw people get shot and stabbed and die from either, okay? She survived both.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing.
She is pretty amazing. So tell me about her production. What are you guys doing down there?
Well, actually, we've partnered with Verizon, and we're actually going to announce a 4K doing her tournament in 4K, which is pretty exciting.
Okay.
And it should be a really good one. And one of the things that you know about Christy, she cares about quality. She wants to put on quality fights and matchups, and that's why we're really really excited about working with her.
Well, as far as the live gate's concerned, the Crown Reef Resort at 2918 South Ocean Boulevard in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, looks like that's going to be the venue, and the ringside seats are sold out. General admission still going at $45. The Mayhem of Myrtle Beach, brought to you by Christy Martin Promotions, of course, that's going to go down the 20th of August, and you will be carrying that live on your channel for what? What's the price going to be on that?
$11.99.
Okay, $11.99. You know, I remember the infancy of pay-per-view when the screen used to go blank. I mean, it would freeze up. I mean, there were nightmares involved, the early renditions of pay-per-view as far as TV is concerned. I mean, even TV Kale, the HBO outlet that started in 1991, they had their problems with things freezing. Now, I'm going to ask you this question because I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything like that. But did all the technology regarding these live streams and stuff, did that all get facilitated by the porn industry?
Well, you know, probably. Probably. But I have to tell you, I mean, a lot of this, you're right. I mean, live TV has its issues. You never know what's going to happen with live TV, come a long way. And especially now, with the internet and honestly, a lot of the new technology has been kind of moved forward with this pandemic. And believe it or not, a lot of technology that was maybe sitting on the shelf was maybe moved forward because people had to put on live events, had no way to monetize them. So it's interesting times, but we've got some incredible technology and working on some incredible technology with incredible companies that you've heard of. And we're hoping to make some really big announcements soon, in that vein. But yeah, I mean, the quality is amazing.
Okay. As far as
if the rival,
I'm sorry, sir. Go on.
No. Go ahead.
Go ahead. And you're the ball. Go on.
No, I'm just going to say, I mean, it rivals network TV for sure. And sometimes it's even higher quality.
Okay, so where does Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, how does that fit into your network plans?
Well, I mean, we love our content creators. We've been really lucky. A lot of people want to be involved. It's the WBC, and I think that, it's going to be pretty exciting. When you look at what we've got so far, we're pretty surprised at all the excitement and people just wanting to be involved because it is the WBC. And there's really nothing else like it on television.
No doubt about that. Of course, it's going to go down. Christy Martin's card is the August 28th on pay-per-view. I think the first bell is going to go down at 6:15 or 6:30 their time. That's Eastern time, of course. Pacific time, that's going to probably be in the afternoon. But the bottom line is this looks like it's a good fight card. You got like 10 or 12 fights on there, and you can watch that on the WBC Live channel. Of course, on how do you pronounce this? Is it Vive? Is it Vive? What's going on?
it's Vive, and actually, this kind of started out. Brainchild is a lifestyle channel, and I think Danielle, wanted to call it something like Joie de Vive, and it turned into Vive, and so yeah, it's pronounced Vive.
Okay, spell it for me.
Vive.
Okay, just for the listeners, spell that. Yeah, all right. Are you up and running now? Is the WBC channel ready to rock now? Have you got a starting date? I mean, what are you talking? What are we talking about?
we actually did a soft launch last week, and so it is live. We have our web app running. Our Android app has been approved. We've got a lot of apps in waiting to be approved, including TV apps. So, but yeah, it's live. It's live now.
Okay. With the WBC's involvement and, of course, Mauricio Sulaiman's involvement, that takes you in different directions all around the world. That's sort of like an open pass to the world for you. That's a good – I've known Mauricio a long time. I've known him since he was a baby, since he was a kid. Okay, that's how old I am. But the bottom line is I've known the Sulaimans for a long time, and we haven't always agreed. But the bottom line is they've done some wonderful things for boxing. And people laugh, you know, a lot of people say, you know, Jose Sulaiman cut the boxing fights from 15 rounds to 12 rounds. Well, in those last three rounds, Mr. Jockerman, I've watched these guys. All they did was take undue punishment, and it took a lot of years off their lives. Now fighters are living longer and living better lives because of the 12-round fights implemented by Jose Sulaiman.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay.
I agree 100%. And I've known Mauricio certainly not as long as you, but you know, Mauricio and the WBC guy, I have to tell you, they're such good people. It's been really a great experience working with these guys. I mean, they're awesome.
Mauricio's pretty good at filming things. One time we were in Malaga, Spain, and Don King was drunk as a skunk standing on a stage, and he was standing too close to the edge, and I was telling his father, you know, Jose, Godfather, you know, Don's a little too close to the edge there of the stage, because he's got $10,000 and $100 bills in his hand and a drink, okay? So Don got too close to the edge, and Mauricio's filming this, and he fell off the stage like 12 feet to the bottom. You heard this big noise, bam! And I ran over there thinking, God, there's got to be a bloody mess. Guess what? Don King didn't drop a dollar. No. The drink dropped. He was bloody, but the 10 grand was still in his hand.
Yeah, not a surprise.
That's me. Anyway, so listen, we wish you the continued success and good luck with your debut. Have your wife keep pumping me up as far as giving me all the information I need to know in order to prosper and to move forward with you guys. I mean, I appreciate her help, no doubt about that. She's quite energetic.
She is. She really is.
Yeah.
A lot of people think I'm just the figurehead.
Well, maybe you are. Oh! Hey, bottom line is you guys are the dynamic duo. Be glad you've got a partner you can work with. I mean, you know, most guys can't handle time with their wives. I mean, my friends are like, hey, can I come over? Hey, you want to meet me here? You want to go have a drink? I mean, why? Because they want to get out of the house and get away from the old lady. But yet you and her, you guys are a team.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. She really is. And she's really detail-oriented. I'm not. I work on bigger picture stuff. So it works out. It works out really well.
Okay. When you see yourself in a year from now, where do you see yourself in a year from now compared to right now? What do you see? I mean, what do you want to be in a year?
Well, the WBC is global. And I think... We're trying to open up different markets, you know, in the Middle East, Eastern Europe, Asia,
Dubai.
A lot of interest. Yeah, exactly.
Go on. I'm sorry. I got bad. I went to Dubai to spend like a week in the hospital there, but go on. The food. Hey, you got to eat garden snails for food. It's terrible food.
Well, I'm talking boxing, but you know, I think that, at the end of the day, what I'd like to see is, who knows? I mean, maybe different channels around the world. They're all WBC, you know, WBC Middle East, WBC Europe. Who knows? I mean, so we're working on a lot of really cool things to roll out. And so, yeah.
Mr. Jockerman,
got a big job.
Mr. Jockerman, I thank you for your vision and good luck in the future as far as your endeavors with the WBC and all. I mean, bottom line is best of luck to you, man. I wish you the very best and continued success.
Pedro, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on.
All right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Don't forget, the WBC has an interactive website at WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez, approaching 37 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk. Under all conditions, you're mine. July 2009, I lost my buddy, the explosive thin man, Alexis Arguello, the world champion, of course, at 126 pounds, 130 pounds. and 135 pounds, failed in his bid at 140 pounds with the great Aaron Pryor. We'll talk about that in depth. But the bottom line is, 1982, May 22nd, 1982, I'm with Maria Ramirez. Yeah, I was going out with her. So we are in Vegas. We're at the Aladdin Hotel, the old Aladdin Hotel, for the Andy Gannigan challenging Alexis Arguello for the WBC lightweight title. Now, Gannigan's one of these rough, tough guys. He's a left-hander. He's a big puncher, a southpaw out of Hawaii. In fact, he ruined Sean O'Grady's career. What happened? At the last minute, Sean O'Grady was supposed to fight Howard Davis. Howard Davis was a 1976 Olympian. He was a runner. I mean, he was a mover. He was a boxer. But he was, I can safely call him a runner, okay? So Pat O'Grady, being Sean O'Grady's father, decided since Howard Davis was coming to town, he was going to get like a 12-foot ring. So he got like this 17-foot ring. I mean, like I think it was 16 exactly. It was a 16-foot square ring. The average ring nowadays is 20 square feet. So in other words, imagine a ring 25% smaller than an average ring right now. So he got this small little ring because he figured that Sean O'Grady, his son, was going to be able to pound out Howard Davis, catch him when he was running around the ring. Couldn't run in a 16-foot ring, right? At the last minute, Davis pulls out of the fight. And they call Gannigan in Hawaii, and he says, yeah, you know, I've had a few drinks, but I think I can make the weight. So Gannigan flies into Oklahoma. He knocks out Sean O'Grady in two rounds. That was the end of O'Grady. Old man O'Grady, Pat O'Grady, finally realized. He didn't realize it, I think, until the day of the fight, that he had the hardest puncher at 135 pounds in the world, and one of the best punchers as far as the top 50 pound-for-pound punchers in the history of Ring Magazine. He had the hardest left-handed puncher in front of him, and guess what? He had a small phone booth type of ring. He sort of designed his own kid's death as far as boxing was concerned. Of course, he did a lot of bad things, Pat O'Grady. Pat O'Grady one time had a Mexican guy, a Mexican national that was an illegal alien. He fought Sean four or five different times, and Sean can't deny this either. He fought Sean because the attorney general said this happened, okay, of Oklahoma. So anyway, in the attorney general's report, he said that Sean fought the same guy three or four different times, but the guy was wearing different trunks. And it was Scott Cuddy wearing purple trunks one day, and then the next day he was John Smith, and he was wearing blue trunks, and then on another occasion he was wearing pink trunks, and his name was Hollywood Henderson. And what I'm trying to tell you is it's the same Mexican national guy. Sean knew what time it was. Sean knew exactly what was going on, so he was a participant. I mean, his father was a crook, and Sean went along with him, okay? And of course, Sean's career was ruined. They moved him up to 147 pounds. He was the guy that fought at 135. So his father said, I'll make him the champion at 147 pounds. I'll create my own association, the World Athletic Association. I think he started that out of Oklahoma and had his daughter be the president or something like that. But the bottom line is, he moved him into a 147-pound title fight, and he got lit up. So Sean O'Grady, a victim of his father. But back to O'Grady and Gannigan. Man, that was a hell of a day. I'm sitting there in the first row of this fight, and I like push my girlfriend to the side. Sorry, babe, I got to sit in the first row. You can sit like the third or the fourth. I'm sitting in the first row, and I'm right there on the ring. I'm on my knees, I think. I don't even think I had a seat. I'm on my knees next to the ring. And the fight opens up, and, you know, Gannigan's a left-handed puncher. He's looking to move his thing, looking to groove, and Arguello's being the disciplinarian, the boxer with the straight long jab and the big, tall, explosive thin man, this and that. And in the second round, he got clipped. I'm talking about the explosive thin man. He almost exploded or imploded. Bottom line is, he was down. He was hurt. He had never been hurt like that in his entire life. He told me that even in the prior fights when he got hit with plaster of Paris, yeah, that's what he hit with. Plaster of Paris and gloves with the stuffing taken out. He said he got hit harder by Gannigan than he did by Pryor. So anyway, he goes down in the second round. He gets hurt again in the third round. The third round, he gets hurt more than he was in the second round when he went down. I'm talking about Arguello. So Arguello looks like he's on the verge of maybe losing his title to this upstart Andy Gannigan. Well, that didn't work out that way. I think Gannigan ended up folding as far as his stamina was concerned. Arguello started putting shots together, and before you knew it, Gannigan folded like a cheap pup tent. But at the end of the day, it was the scariest night in Alexis Arguello's career up to that point. Okay, now we take it to the fight in 1982. We're at the, where is it? Orange Bowl Stadium down there in Miami, Florida. Of course, I'm talking about Aaron Pryor defending the WBA welterweight championship, the linear championship, 140-pound title, of course. And in his corner, the infamous sleaze bag, Panama Lewis. Who is Panama Lewis? Panama Lewis is a dead man now, thank God. I never thought that I would celebrate anybody's death, but I was dancing a jig when Panama died. Why is that? Because Panama was a piece of work. Let me tell you what he was convicted of in a court of law. He was convicted of taking the stuffing out of gloves, out of Luis Resto's gloves, when he fought Billy Collins. This was about 9 months after Arguello and Pryor fought down there in Florida. This fight was in Madison Square Garden. They found the stuffing to the gloves on the floor next to the toilet in the bathroom. Resto ended up telling him the whole nine yards, telling the prosecutors the whole nine yards. What Panama Lewis did was he wrapped his hands the first time with regular hand wraps, one set of wrapping. Then he wrapped his hands in plaster of Paris. Now, what I mean by plaster of Paris is if you get a broken arm and they run a bandage around your hand and then they wrap a plaster of Paris around it and then they wet it, and then it dries, it's hard as a rock. That's what a cast is. Well, that's what they did to Aaron Pryor's hands against Alexis Arguello. I kid you not. This is just the way it went down. I'm sorry to be this real, but this is just the way it was. So they took the stuffing out of the gloves. They reduced his hand wraps to basically two clubs, okay? And Arguello was getting hit with shots. He was telling me, man, I'm getting hit with shots. He goes, I feel like I'm getting hit with rocks. And so it felt like he's hitting me with rocks. And then Billy Collins, 9 months later, when Panama Lewis was caught in Madison Square Garden in June of 83, he said he felt like he was getting hit in the face with an ashtray. I don't know if he's ever been beaten with an ashtray by his father or something like that, but he felt like he was getting hit with ashtrays. At the end of the day, Panama Lewis, of course, spent some time in jail. Luis Resto spent some time in jail. Billy Collins ended up committing suicide. Well, he didn't really commit suicide. He became an alcoholic. Not that he wasn't to begin with, because his father was an alcoholic. In fact, Muhammad Ali told me one time, I said, who's the best fighter you know that never won a title? He said, Billy Collins Sr. That's what he told me, Billy Collins Sr. And out of the blue, I didn't even know he knew Billy Collins. But you see, he knew Billy Collins Sr. He told me that was the greatest, the most talented fighter he had never seen, he had ever been involved with, that never won a title. And of course, Billy Collins Jr., he was destined maybe not to win a title, but he was best destined to be around a couple of times. He might have been a step short as far as slowness is concerned, and he might not have been the most powerful and polished boxer in the world, but he was undefeated, and he was white. So he had the right complexions. He had the right connections with Bob Arum, was pushing him in the right direction. He was going to take on the winner of the Roberto Duran Davey Moore fight, which was the main event that night. Of course, Duran would win by an 8th-round TKO, upsetting the boxing world like you wouldn't believe. Duran wasn't supposed to win that one. He was a 3-1 underdog. But Luis Resto and Billy Collins, of course, that ended Billy Collins' career. When I say he committed suicide, he died a couple years later. He was drunk, and he sort of ran off the road. And one guy told me he sort of thought it was intentional. I mean, he intentionally drove off a cliff. That's basically what they're trying to say, that Billy Collins killed himself that way. And why not? His life was destroyed. He had double vision. I mean, imagine double vision. You're a boxer. You're looking at something, you see two or three different things coming out of one eye. He had double vision in one eye. He could never recover. He never got any money out of those people. Panama Lewis and those guys, they declared bankruptcy, of course. And Aaron Pryor, he had nothing to do with that one, because that was the Alexis Arguello fight before that. But had Alexis known what he knew in 1983 and 1982, his agent, Bill Miller, went after the gloves with Aaron Pryor in the ring that night. He wanted the gloves from Pryor. They felt something was a little amiss, okay? They didn't realize that the hands were wrapped in casts. I mean, casts, you know. But anyway, they didn't realize that. But they wanted to take a look at the gloves. The Pryor gloves that night disappeared from the ring. This was the biggest fight of 1982, maybe the fight of the year, without a doubt, and one of the biggest fights maybe in boxing history, right? And the gloves disappeared. Nobody knows where the gloves are today. How can that be? How can that be? How can the gloves from a major event disappear? The reason why they disappeared is that the stuffing was taken out of those gloves, and if they were found, they would have proved that Aaron Pryor cheated through Panama Lewis. Now, when I cornered Pryor on this afterwards, we had our little ups and downs about it and this and that. And, we talked about cocaine and all kinds of good stuff and how he used to get high and how he would get high and then rumble with me in Vegas and this and that. Because Aaron Pryor and I had some fun. We had some fun together in Vegas. One time we came home with a couple of girls from Caesar's Palace. Maybe I've told this story before, but we came home with a couple of girls from Caesar's. We're going back to Caesar's Palace. We had a suite at Caesar's with like three or four different bedrooms, a big suite with a big old hot tub, and there was like a couple hot tubs in different rooms. I kid you not, it was like the pimp room of all time. So anyway, we go back and we're in our limo going back to the hotel, and the girl I was with started vomiting. Actually, she was banging on. She's telling me to stop the van, stop the limo, stop the limo, stop the limo. Yeah, I'm having a good time. What are you doing? Anyway, she goes, stop the limo. I'm going to throw up. So anyway, we stopped the limo. Finally got the limo driver to stop. She threw up all over the place. And I just didn't feel like romantically inclined after that point in time. And I remember Aaron telling me, hey, it's nothing but a little vomit, Pedro. Come on, what's a little vomit? Anyway, back to Aaron Pryor. When Aaron Pryor and I talked about Alexis Arguello and the Arguello fight, he never admitted that he cheated. He never really admitted, but he didn't deny it either. And that's telling. He didn't deny it either. Because I said to him, I said, you know, something was going on that day. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you know, something was going on. You know, Panama was caught later for tampering with the gloves. I said, but your gloves disappeared. He goes, well, I don't know nothing about that. I said, come on, man. They cut the gloves off your hands. I mean, you were the last one to see those gloves before they disappeared. Where did they go? I don't know. Okay, how come you didn't take a post-fight drug test after that Arguello-Pryor fight? Remember the special bottle, the mix in the corner? That was nothing but heart asthma medication mixed with either peppermint schnapps and water, or the combination of peppermint schnapps and water, and the asthma pills were their adrenaline pills. And when Pryor drank that, his lungs opened up, and of course he took them to another level as far as those cardiovascular concerns. But I asked Pryor about that. I asked about the special mix. He said there was nothing in the bottle outside of water and maybe some peppermint schnapps. That's what he admitted to, the peppermint schnapps. As far as Panama Lewis is concerned, I guess it was 1996. I would say the winter or the fall of 1996, and we're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. Don King's got me in a limo, so I'm just pimping around in a limo with Don King. And we pull up to this hotel because we're going to have the weigh-in for Mike Tyson and Buster Matthews Jr. I think this is the second fight in Mike Tyson's comeback career. This will take care of the now. This will take place in the now defunct the Rays Philadelphia Spectrum. So anyway, we get to the Spectrum, and of course, you know, the fight was what it was. I mean, it wasn't much of a fight. Mike Tyson won that fight going away. But Don King and I were at the weigh-in, and Panama Lewis walked up to me and he said to me, "Hey man, you talking a lot of spit about me." And he said spit with an H, so it wasn't, you know, it was like, I got to censor it here. So anyway, I got right in his face. Boom! I pushed him right off of him. Man, mother ducker, get away from me. Pushed him right back across the room, and Don King says to himself, he tells me later, he goes, Pedro, I knew it was on. I said, you knew it was on? He goes, I knew. I wasn't even bothered to say anything because I knew it was on. Once I seen that look in your eye, I knew it was on. So he knew it was on. So me and Panama are getting ready to square off. Panama didn't want no part of that. I made two feints at him this night. He hadn't wanted no part of it. Anyway, the bottom line is I was going to crack Panama Lewis, and I was trying to get back for everything he took from Davey Boy. Hey, he took from Billy Collins. He took from boxing. I mean, he shed the most negative light on boxing has ever been shed on boxing, I think, in the 20th century. How can you do that? I mean, boxing's had a lot of creepy people in the 20th century. It's had a lot of creepy people in its history. And yet, how can Panama Lewis be number one on the creep list? But he is. It was without a doubt. So when I look back at the prior Arguello fights, I think that they were arranged. And I think they were arranged by the fact that the stuffing was taken out of the gloves, the plaster of Paris, in other words. And then, of course, the comeback and after that round, I think the 13th round, when Arguello hit Pryor with that home run right hand and Pryor bounced back in that corner after taking the special bottle. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, that fight will always be controversial. And the great Alexis Arguello, it ruined him as a man. It ruined him physically. It ruined him mentally. It ruined him emotionally. And it ruined him as a professional fighter. No doubt about that. Panama Lewis, may you not rest in peace. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Don't forget the World Boxing Council's interactive website at WBCBoxing.com. I'm Pedro Fernandez, and this is Ring Talk.
Ring Talk Live worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Check it. 57 and a half minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. Of course, coming to you on various platforms. Hopefully, the Vive TV Network is rocking and rolling as well. We are looking forward to that, no doubt about that. You are listening to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Nothing new there. Yordi Ugas out of Cuba. They're going to take on Manny Pacquiao next week for the WBA 147-pound crown. It's going to go down to the T-Mobile Arena on Fox Sports pay-per-view. What I'm trying to tell you is that Manny Pacquiao is an asset to boxing. He's an asset to the world. And this Cuban guy is sort of like Manny Pacquiao was when he fought Ledwaba for the IBF 122-pound crown. I guess that was back in, like, God, 35 or 40 years ago. Anyway, bottom line, it seems like it was that long. But Manny Pacquiao was an unknown guy just coming into a fight, being called as a last-minute substitute, a last-minute replacement coming in on a couple weeks' notice. Well, he came in and beat Ledwaba for the title. Is this what's going to happen? Is that what's going to happen? Is history going to repeat itself? Is Yordi Ugas going to come in and beat Manny Pacquiao next week? I don't know, but Manny Pacquiao right now, a minus 300 favorite in the Las Vegas sportsbooks. The following week, pound for pound, one of the better fighters in boxing, no doubt about that. Super middleweight David Benavidez, undefeated, no doubt about that. He is like the real deal, the former champion. He is the number one ranked WBC contender, and of course, he keeps himself clean. I think he could be champ. He could be the guy to rumble and maybe rumble evenly and or beat Canelo Alvarez. I kid you not, that's how much ability he has. Anyway, you've been tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, be it on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217, SportsByline.com. As I mentioned, iHeart Live or Delayed, of course. And now the Vive TV, the Live or Delayed feed there. We got it going on. Bottom line is we thank you so much for your tuning in to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. There's a million things you can be doing in the world right now, but the fact you're listening to me and Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Don't forget the interactive website of our sponsor, the WBC, WBCBoxing.com. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most importantly, keep your butt off the canvas of life. Peace.